Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion, say dominion, over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. That's a goat, by the way. And it makes it sound like it's something easy to do. Like he ripped that lion like he would have ripped a goat. I don't know that I could rip a goat. Like it sounds so simple, so easy. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Wonder why not. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. And he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. I wonder why not. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used a young man to do. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We need your spirit here tonight. Lord, we don't want this just to be academic. We want it to be spiritual. Lord, we thank you for your promises and what you have written in your word to instruct us. God, we ask you, Lord, to hear the word. Lord, as we break this bread, let us hear it. Not just hear it, Lord, let us understand it. Not just understand it, Lord, let us apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Fist bump somebody and have a seat. We err in the fact that we give out Sunday school coloring books to children, and Samson is a big ripped dude. I have colored Samson as a kid, and he's got muscles in his temples. And that is not the way Samson looked in Scripture. That's not the way he looked in real life. As a matter of fact, we know this because Delilah would ask him, where does your strength lie? I don't have to ask Mike where his strength lies. But there are some people in this room, I got to say, you see somebody real say, that boy's strong, but he didn't look strong. The reason was this. Samson had something different in his life than the people around him. The difference was he had taken the vow of a Nazarite. Because Samson has taken the vow of a Nazarite, there were certain things in that vow that you could not do. One, you could not drink. You could not be around grapes. You couldn't be around a vineyard. You could not cut your hair. That would be awful if I could not cut my hair. I just want to tell you, it would be awful. I will never take the vow of a Nazarite because the sides would be, never mind, I'm just going to leave it alone. I'd have a skullet. He couldn't cut his hair. He couldn't be around the vineyard. And another thing Samson couldn't do is he couldn't be around anything that was dead. So now the story starts making a little bit more sense. Samson goes down into the vineyard. One, he was not supposed to be there. Spurgeon years ago preached a message on this very subject, and he titled it Hands Full of Honey. And in that sermon, he talks about how the victories that we win become our nourishment for later, because he comes back to that line and he takes the honey. But when I read this, Sam, I notice something. He goes down to the vineyard and there is a lion in that place. Now, this lion wasn't there to make the story better. This lion was there for a specific purpose, and it was to kill Samson. The problem, the issue is, Samson is in a place that he should not be in. We as believers got to be careful where we put ourselves. We got to be careful the places we go. Years ago, as we would sit in church, they would sing songs like, "The places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to say, I don't say no more. All the things I used to do, I don't do anymore." The truth is this: if God comes into your life, there should be a change in you that nobody else could perform. Nobody else could conquer. Nobody else could overcome you but God, who was rich in his mercy, wherewith he loved me. Yeah, he loved me exactly like I was, but he loved me too much to leave me like I was, because maybe you were okay in your life of sin, but I was miserable and I was looking for a way out. Perry, thank God that one day he picked me up and he brought me out of that miry clay. Go ahead, clap your hands. He is worthy. Only God could do that. Only God could take you out of that place that you were in. The same God that brought me out is the same God that keeps me. Danny, when I got saved, my troubles didn't end. As a matter of fact, some of them had just begun. When I got saved, Johnny, God brought me out, and I still need prayer, and I still need a Savior, and I still need delivered, and I still need power, and I still need strength. And the only place that I find the strength that I need is in him. The psalmist said it like this: "I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." If you are in this congregation today and you need help and you need strength, I would like to press your attention to the one who gives it liberally, somebody who gives it abundantly. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. If you're weak, he'll be your strength. I'm not going to preach to everybody today, but I'm going to preach to somebody, because we need strength. Samson goes down where he should not have been. He should have never been in that vineyard. He had taken the vow. And by the way, another error that we commit is when we tell our children that Samson's strength was in his hair. His strength was not in his hair. His strength was in the vow and the commitment that he had to God. The hair was a byproduct of the commitment. Can you say amen? It's our commitment to God that gives us strength. When we put God aside so easily, it shows the level of our commitment. And I'm not here to beat you up today, but I'm here to talk to somebody, because there are so many people. Church attendance is falling in most denominations. Why, preacher? Because people come to church for a reason, and they leave the church because they did not find what they are looking for. I'm going to tell you right now, when you find him, you will have found what you truly were looking for. Religion cannot satisfy. Sitting in a church pew cannot satisfy. Singing in the choir cannot satisfy. Preaching a sermon cannot satisfy. I believe Paul said it like this: 14 years of being in ministry, he said, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. This is a different kind of knowing than head knowledge. This comes through experience. And when I experience him, it changes me. Samson, I want to reiterate, should have never been in the vineyard. And this is one of those stories that could have ended tragically. Did you hear what happened to Samson? What happened? He got attacked, and he lost his life. Oh, and our hearts go out. Our hearts hurt. And then we say, oh, yeah, he was down at the vineyard. Oh. Oh. 2 hour embarrassment. There are times when we find out people go through hard times, and when we find out that they were in places where they shouldn't have been, it relieves us of a level of our sorrow. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? What happened? This and that. Oh. Oh. So they were down there. They were doing this. They were doing that. I know people who think addicts deserve what they get because of the places they put themselves in. Man, I want to wake up a church this morning and tell you this. God knew Samson was down there where he should not have been. He knew that there was a lion there, and he knew that lion was coming to kill him. And he could have very easily said, Samson, you're down there. You said you wouldn't go, and now you're there, so you're in trouble. But if you read the same Bible I did, the Bible says that the Spirit came mightily upon Samson. You know what we need in our area? We need the Spirit to come mightily upon people who are in places that they should not be in. We need God's Spirit moving in our area so strong that when the man sits down at the bar to drink, the Spirit of God moves in that place just as mightily as it does in the congregation of the righteous. That's the God I serve. Reverse, when I read scripture, it begins to tell me about the fruits of the Spirit. This ain't in my notes. This is we're winging it now, so it's hard to tell where this will end up. When I read of the fruits of the Spirit, it lists them all. And then it says, against such, there is no law. Against such, there is no law. If you look that word law up, it means limit. Against such, there is no limit. I'm talking about a move of the Spirit that is not limited to four walls, but it begins to move into places where people are and they should not be there. That's how God works. God doesn't give you what you deserve. Out of all the places, I've had people invite me to church. Come to the church, the Spirit's moving. Come to my church, the Spirit's moving. That's a good line to get me, because I don't want to go to a church where the Spirit is not moving. Can I say that again? I've been in dead churches and I don't like them. I work a lot of hours through the week. And if I sit down in a dead, quiet church, I will go to sleep. Some people even pull it off in this room. I know if you go to sleep in this service, you're tired, boss, and you need rest. So we're just going to let you rest. I've been in places that had the form, but it denied the power thereof. Everything looked right. The hymnals were in place. The preacher was right. He seemed right. Everything seemed right. But there was something that was missing. That something is a move of the Spirit of God. Because, Jason, if we can touch the throne of God and get His Spirit moving, it is hard to tell where this thing could end up. Because you don't have to just come to church because the Spirit is moving there. I got a God that'll leave the church and go where you are, even if you shouldn't be there. Oh, come on, testify. Has God ever met you in places where you shouldn't have been? That's grace. That's grace. This gets rid of the notion that you need to clean up before God can touch you. Whoever told you that God can't dwell where sin is, don't know God.
Because let me tell you what God does. He walks right down in the middle of it. As a matter of fact, he sent his only son right to a sinful world. And he touched it. His hands reached out and touched the leper. God ain't afraid of your sin. He'll meet you where you're at. Samson did not kill the lion. He couldn't. He was too puny. He was too weak. He couldn't do it. As a matter of fact, Samson's in trouble. And by the way, I want to reiterate this right now. I want to tell you this. Anytime a preacher makes you the hero in the story, they got the story wrong. They preach about David, and you're David. You ain't. You in the valley with David and Goliath, you are not David. Let me tell you who you are. You're up there on the hill shaking. That's who you are in the story. Let me tell you who the hero is in every story. The one that went down in the valley and fought the battle for you while you were up there shaking, that don't represent you, that represents him. Because this battle you could not have won on your own. The lion jumped out, its goal was to kill. But the Bible says that the Spirit came mightily upon Samson. If it had not been for God moving mightily upon him, he would have never overcome that lion. As a matter of fact, if God doesn't move on us, we can't overcome absolutely anything. But God, who is rich in his mercy, reaches down and gives his Spirit to you when you're in need. Are you thankful? You don't tell mom and dad. Really? Why is that, Samson? Why didn't you tell mom or dad? In the story, in the sermon that Spurgeon taught, he said, Samson overcome the lion. And when he came back by, he went by to check and look at his victory. And he found the honey, and he used that honey to bless others, and your victories will bless other people. The problem with that is when he turned aside, he should have never been in there, and he should have never went back to there. Because now there is a dead carcass. I got to be careful here because I could preach a sermon right now. Stop going back to the carcasses that God has delivered you from. He turned aside and he went back and, oh, honey, sweet. The problem is the honey, oh, be careful, be careful. I don't know who your honey is. Honey, sweet. He turned aside and the honey was inviting. The problem was the honey was inviting him to break another vow. Do you see the problem with this? Oh, preacher, you don't understand. It looks so good. It's inviting you to break another vow. Do I got to go in depth on this or are we getting it? There's some commitment that we have toward God, and the enemy makes the breaking of that commitment look sweet. I'm telling you, leave it alone. He came back with the honey, and notice again, he does not tell his father or his mother where he got it from. See, God brought you out. God has delivered you. God has killed some things in your life. We do not need to turn aside and check them out again. We truly need to stay away from them. As a matter of fact, don't text it, don't call it, don't Facebook it, don't tweet it, don't Instagram it, don't even look it up, because God has delivered you. Don't go back to the carcass. But preacher, it's sweet. I don't care how sweet it is. Problem is, we check it out. We check it out. Well, I just want to see how things are going. I tell you the problem with Samson. It seems innocent, don't it? But Samson did not fulfill his potential because he broke his vow. You say, oh yeah, but he killed all them Philistines. God had different plans. God was going to do something awesome. But Samson went aside and began to do things. Can I preach this for just a few more minutes? And then he laid his head in the lap of Delilah, that woman that he saw that pleased her. Listen, beauty is only. I never really understood that. I wanted to say it, but I never really understood that. How deep is it supposed to be? Could you imagine? If we take your skin off, I'm not going to say, oh man, Sam's a handsome fella. Things seem attractive when we look at them. Samson said, get her for me. The warning came from mom and dad. Samson didn't heed the warning. Get her. Go get her for me. Now, this is part of the story that really messes me up. She says, wherein lies your strength? You know what Samson does? He lies. He lies. Oh, if you bind me with new cords. He goes to sleep and he wakes up and guess what? He's bound in new cords and he breaks them like they're nothing. And then this story goes on again. Oh, you don't love me. You don't love me. You don't love me. You ever heard that before? You don't love me. You know what that is? That's manipulation. If you love me, you would do this. Oh, come on. Anybody? Oh, you don't love me. What is it? And he tells her. Next story. Listen, at some point, you got to wake up and say, I don't think she loves me. Because she keeps asking me how to trap me, and I'm giving her lies, and I wake up with the exact trap. Huh? How bright is that? How smart is that? I mean, I don't know if it's okay to say, but come on, Goofy. She's trying to get you. Here we go again. If you cut my hair, does he think he's going to wake up without a haircut? I mean, you think he woke up, Brad went, huh? She really did it. Already did it. Already did it several times. Let me put this in perspective. The devil comes and he says, this is going to be fun. Now, I know you shouldn't be here. And I know you shouldn't be doing this, but this is going to be fun. And then you step over into it, and then you get trapped, and then you get caught, and then you get in all kinds of trouble. And the next time, he comes back and says, this is going to be fun. At some point, you got to look at him and say, I think you're trying to trap me. I think this is a trick. There's no way this is real. There's no way. You don't love me. Let me tell you something about your enemy. Your enemy does not love you. Your enemy has set traps for you, snares of the fowler. He's got all kinds of things set out there, but he's got to lure you in, and he's going to lure you in with something sweet. It's going to look like honey. Oh, but preacher, honey tastes so good. Well, let me tell you this. So does the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There is something on the other side that God has called us to. That's his divine will. That is his purpose. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I'm preaching to somebody because something is trying to pull you back in. And you need to turn away and get away from it. I know the devil said it's going to be all right. I'm here to tell you, God has a divine will and purpose for you. Don't cut your hair, Samson. Don't go near a vineyard and don't touch anything dead. Three strikes. You're out. He went to the vineyard. He touched the deadline. And then he cuts his hair. Then comes the story. As soon as he lost his strength, the enemy poked his eyes out. Listen to this. As soon as he lost his strength, they took his sight. You know what makes me nervous about some people? They start everything out with, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. I had somebody tell me this one time. They said, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I said, did you read the Bible? I mean, I've read it some. That's why you don't see anything wrong with it. Because you don't have any sight to see it with. The enemy wants to blind you and make you believe that going in the same circle around and around and around is what God has designed you to do. I'm here to tell you, we have compassed this mountain long enough. It's time to stop going in circles and begin to go north. It's time for the church to rise up and say, greater, really, really, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I made a commitment to Jesus. I will not put any evil thing before my eye. I won't touch it. I won't walk around it, because I know that I've got a destiny. I know that God called me to do something. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to pulpit ministry. I'm talking to believers that are full of the Spirit. It's you. You know what happens in church? I've seen this a long time, AJ. I've been around a while now. I can start preaching like an old preacher. The other day, Cindy, I was preaching. I was talking about grandma and grandpas sitting at tables, and I watched grandma, and he hit me. I'm a grandpa. Why is it you think that you're younger than everybody you went to school with? Yeah, y'all do that too. You look at them and say, man, they look old, and they're looking at me going, wow. I can preach like an old preacher. I've been around for a while. I've seen some things. I've seen some people. Don't see anything wrong with anything. And before you know it, they're sucked back into a life of torture. We got to get our eyes open to the plan that God has ordained for our life. Sam, I've seen people come to the altar, and I believe it's sincere in their repentance. God puts up some protocols. He puts up some protection, and he puts up some barriers. And Jason, he puts those up for us because he cares about us. God cares about it. God cares about it. Seen this happen in churches. I've seen some pastors set themselves up like they're your boss. If you want to buy a car, you come and see me. We'll go through your finances and see. I ain't going through your finances. I have the time nor the want to. And we look to the pulpit for all the answers. You got the answer sitting in you right now. You know what we do? Here's what we do. Man, we ask this guy to testify. Man, would you like to testify? You know what he does? He jumps up. He says something. It's anointed. He's a little fiery about it. We're like, oh, you must be a preacher. Says who? Just because he gives a fiery testimony, we want to make him a preacher. You know why? Because we're like, you don't belong in the congregation. You got to get up there. You know why we want him up there? Because we want to get him away from us so that we can feel fine not having a fiery testimony. Ooh, that was good. I'm preaching good right now. Even if I'm doing it, this is good. We got to get him away from the general assembly because he's on fire. The truth is, he should be on fire right there. You should be on fire right there. You should be on fire back there. You should be on fire back there. We should all be on fire for the kingdom of God. We shouldn't be moved out of the congregation because we got a fiery testimony. No, everybody in here that's been washed in the blood should have a passionate testimony about what Jesus did for you. Amen, preacher, preach. It's when we do what God hasn't ordained us to do that we get in trouble. Even God in his mercy gave him strength to overcome the lion. Even God in his grace stepped in when he wasn't where he should be. Let me tell you what happens. Keep crossing that fence and eventually you're going to get your hair cut. How many times? Raise your hand if your mom and dad ever said, how many times I got to tell you? Everybody look around. Look around. Y'all are hard-headed people. How many times do I got to tell you? I mean, it'd be great if you was like, 381. And you're at 2. How many times I got to tell you? How many times does the enemy have to reveal he's trying to kill you? How many times does the enemy have to reveal that he's trying to take your strength for you to figure out? Samson is a story of failed potential. And Megan, it wasn't a slip up. It was over and over and over and over and over. Don't go into the vineyard. Hey, I'm in a vineyard. Ah, a lion. Don't touch dead stuff. Hey, I got honey in a carcass. Hey, where's your strength? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, this guy was one epic mess up. And we're laughing at him. But we're kind of laughing at us. Because God has given us this potential. And that pleasure the enemy offers doesn't last that long. Let me try it over here. I got one amen over there. Y'all were real quiet on that. So maybe the person I need to speak to is over here. God's designed us to walk in a potential. Come on, Aaron. And the enemy is trying to take that from us. Well, preacher, is Aaron here? Did he leave? I thought he done left. Why? I believe this. I really do believe this. I believe when the church gets right, there will be a witness on it on the outside of the church. If my people, where does it start at? With his people. It starts with his people. We got to stop letting the enemy trick us. You know, I've heard people say these words. This is how confused the enemy has people. I love Jesus, but I don't like God. Read the Bible and you'll kind of figure out what they're talking about. The God of the Old Testament compared to Jesus of the New Testament? If I was an Amorite, I would probably make that statement. It's because the enemy has us so confused because of what God has designed. And I want to say this before I quit. Any revelation that you have of God outside of Jesus, get rid of it. Why, preacher? Because the express image of God is found in the face of Jesus. When God revealed himself completely, he revealed himself in Jesus. So any revelation that you have of God outside of Jesus, just get rid of it, because that is the ultimate expression. Now, why do I say that? Because that spirit is now in you, and we need to be the expression to the world. That's why the enemy gets so nervous if you're filled with the Spirit and you're a believer, because there is so much potential in you. It doesn't have to come from the pulpit. It can come at your workplace. It can happen on the side of the street. It can happen in Walmart. When we begin to reveal, then God begins to move. I want to challenge you today. Step up, step out, leave it alone. Don't go back to what he's already killed. He delivered some of us from anxiety. Don't go back to it. But sometimes it's a way to cope. It ain't the right way to cope. Delivered you from depression. Don't go back to it. It sounds simple. Just don't go back to it. How do I don't go back to it? I'm going to tell you how. You walk in the Spirit. You got to replace it with something. Come on, Aaron, start playing so I can quit. He didn't start. I'm going to keep talking. Sam, come up here. Come up here. Come on, Jason. Y'all get ready. Y'all get ready. Y'all get ready. Y'all get ready. Did I preach to anybody today? If I did, and you feel the enemy trying to pull you back into what God has already delivered you from, would you step out and let us pray with you? Thank you. Thank you. You were never designed to go back to that. I preacher, I was just checking on it. I was just seeing how it was, seeing how everything was. Don't check on it. He delivered you from it. Today could be the moment that you surrender to a level that the enemy can't mess with you anymore.